Everybody say 10 a.m. So you come next Sunday at 10:30, you're going to be late, okay? It's going to be on you guys to get here at 10 a.m. Hallelujah. For me, it's going to be like, wow, I get to sleep in an extra hour. I got here this morning at 7:15. I just like to get here, get the air on, and get going for the day. And I love being in the house of the Lord. VBS was great. You know, what Rob didn't tell you is every kid gave their life to Jesus this week. It was just a fabulous time. You know, we got to pray with the kids and stuff. It's just a phenomenal time. And that's why we do it, you know, is to lead the kids to Jesus. Amen. We didn't do all that decorating, all that work just to say, wow, look what we did. No, we want to say, look what the Lord has done. He poured out His Spirit and them kids committed to Christ, and that's what it was all about, and that's why we did it. So, fun stuff. Well, today the title of my message is Don't Restrict Me, and our computer's getting really selective. It only works for my message now and not the singing, so it's kind of funny how that works. Same program, but only my message will work. So we're going to talk out of Colossians chapter 2, 16 through 23. So would you stand with me today as we read the Word? It'll be up here on the big screen. Colossians 2, 16 through 23. I'm reading it out of the New Living Translation. So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, or for not celebrating certain holy days, or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come. And Christ Himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body. For He holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it. You have died with Christ, and He has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come into Your Word, I pray that, Lord, Your Word would bring such life to each one of us today. That, Lord, that we would just be growing in You, overcoming the world, and, Lord, conquering, Lord, our own evil desires, Lord, to be more like Jesus, to walk in the freedom and the liberty that You came for, that You have given us, and, Father, that Your joy would be our strength, that You cover, protect, heal, and strengthen every person here today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. You know, last week I talked about to be or not to be. That is the question. You know, do we really want to be followers of Christ? Are we all in with Him? And we all said yes last week. We want to be all in. We want the fullness of Christ inside of us. Amen. We want to be fully alive in Jesus. We want who He is to shine through us. We don't want to be fakes. Can I hear an amen? Amen. You know, as the little video we watched on Father's Day, you know, we don't want a fake mommy, fake daddy. We want a real dad, amen, when we have a real Father which is in heaven. And He is with us. And when we come to Jesus and we're baptized, it means our old nature, everybody say old nature, is buried with Christ, is buried with Him, and now I'm alive in Jesus Christ. Now, my carnal man is cast down. My carnal thinking is done away with. You know, as I said last week, our sin has been canceled. You know, but sometimes, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that carnal man wants to be resurrected. He wants to come alive. And we have to shoot him down again and keep him down and not feed that carnal man. Because whatever we feed is what's going to live. And we can't be feeding our carnal nature, amen? So as we move forward in this book of Colossians, chapter 2 here today, number one, don't let anyone condemn you. Don't live a life of condemnation. See, what the enemy will try to do is he'll try and condemn you for who you used to be. He'll try to condemn you for your past mistakes, for the past things that you've done wrong. That's what the enemy does, is he tries to condemn us on a constant basis. Even when people get saved. You know, when you got that real rowdy, crazy, drug addict, drinking person in your family, and they came and they got saved, and we're like, well, we'll see if he changes. You know, we throw the condemnation on him. Well, we know how you've been. We know what you've been up to. You know, we'll see if this is just a crutch. You know, we throw things like that out because we forget what Jesus has forgiven us for. He's forgiven us for everything, right? So that we're not under condemnation. In Romans chapter 8, it says this. It says, therefore, there is now no, everybody say no. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. So now, but here's the thing. You know, people say, well, you know, don't condemn me. Listen, don't live a sinful life. You see, we open our own selves up for condemnation when we continue in our sinful nature. See, because there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus walking by the Spirit and not by our flesh. So, you know, don't live in your flesh. Is that easy for everybody here to not walk in your flesh? It's easy for you? No. You were going like this. I thought, man, Dion's got it down. He's moving up front row now. He's like, I need to be in the front. You see, because the flesh, the thing about the flesh is it's always with you. I'm alive. I live. I breathe. I got blood flowing through my veins. My flesh is always with me. And there's times when the old fleshly nature wants to arise. And I have to remind it, you're dead. Get down. Put him back in the grave. See, but only you can do that. I can't put the enemy that's pulling on you back in the grave for you. You got to cast him down. Those imaginations, those thoughts you get, you're the only one that can take authority over them. You're the one, because if I did it for you, then I'd have to follow you around all the time. We might have fun, we might laugh and carry on, but, you know, Dion and I get together, we just laugh all the time. But you have to take authority over that guy. You have to take authority over your carnal mind, your fleshly nature. You got to realize, oh, that ain't God. I need to get you out of my head. And then you take authority and you cast it down. How many of you ever get bad thoughts? We just can't react to them. Can't give them life, amen? Because I think we would all should raise our hand that we all get bad thoughts, you know. But it's, Pastor Jesse, it's just that I choose not to slap that person. See, it's a good thing. I don't step into what I'm thinking, amen? I don't say everything I thought. That's what's so funny about my mama. My mom just, she'd just say things. And I said, Mom, you can't say everything that comes to your mind. She goes, Ron, the problem is this. It's not getting to my mind. It's just coming out of my mouth. How do you argue with that? You know, but most of what she said was really funny. It made us laugh like crazy. But, you know, don't live in a life of condemnation. But walk in the Spirit, amen. And it says in verse 3, it says, for what the law could not do and that it was weak through the flesh. See, because the law is based on this. It's based on what you do. The law was based on how good you could keep it. The law was based on you denying your flesh. And that's what the law was based on. So God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So Jesus came, he fulfilled the law so that we're not bound by the law. Now, it means that, you know, I came to the men's breakfast yesterday, and it was really good. Had some great men share their testimony, but we had bacon. And we had lots of bacon. It's one thing we always have at a men's breakfast here is lots of bacon. Because we're not bound by the law to don't eat pork. People say, well, I don't eat pork. I'm so sorry. we're not bound by those laws, amen, to eat certain meats. And that's what he's telling us. Don't let people condemn you because you had a pork sandwich today. Because you had some bacon eggs. Don't let condemnation come on you because you're not living by the Jewish law. See, now a lot of people, get trapped into the Jewish law. Well, I got to keep this festival. I got to keep the Sabbath. I got to do this. No, you don't. You got to serve Jesus. You got to love God. You got to love me. Because I'm your neighbor. Amen? So he said, hey, love God, love your neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Say it, Carol. Come on, let it flow. You see, that's the thing. It's not about, did you have bacon this week? Did you have a bowl of sugar or something? A bowl of sugar, I think in a bowl of cereal. These days it's a bowl of sugar. You know, we're not bound by laws. But now let me tell you about this. Those laws about what to eat, they're good for us. The Lord told us how to eat in the Old Testament. And the reason why so many people got diabetes, high blood pressure, got this, that, and the other thing, is because we've gotten away from eating like that. Because we do pile on the bacon. Man, it was good. So you see what I'm saying? So the laws were there. They weren't a bad thing. But that's not what could save people. That's keeping a Jewish festival doesn't make you better than anybody. Pastor Jesse and I, we took Hebrew in college. So? I took Greek too. So? Talanda told me one time, she says, do you think God's going to keep track of your degrees when you get to heaven? I'm like, nope. She says, then don't try so hard, okay? Because she'd rather me be with her than be out every night going to school. See, we have to, in the kingdom of God, we have to learn what is good and what is right. To love God and to love each other is good. It's the kingdom. Keeping those laws. Now listen, I really like the law, thou shalt not kill. It's a good thing, huh? Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. I think Jesus even said, you know, hey, you've heard the saying, don't commit adultery. And he said, well, let's take it a step further. See, because it's not about a legal issue, it's about a heart issue. Jesus said, when you think about another woman and committing adultery, and you design it in your mind, it's like you've already done it. See, Jesus said, it's not about you being legalistic and saying and being so pious that you keep all the laws. It's a heart issue, Maureen. He says, let's deal with the issue of your heart. Because you can not eat pork, you can keep every Jewish festival, you can keep the Sabbath every week and still be mean as hell and not make it to heaven. I don't like meanness. I don't like people that are mean. I mean, I have a real hard time around people that are, I love them, but I don't like them. You know what I mean? when meanness comes out, because I know this, the Lord's never been mean to me. He's never been mean to me. No matter what I did, he still loved me. He still spoke to me in such a way, even when he corrected me, I just felt like I was being loved. And for us as humans, that's hard to do. But we can learn, amen? So what's that next verse, verse 5? For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. You know, Delon and I did a fast recently where we only ate lunch for 40 days. That's all we did. We just ate lunch. And we just drank in between. But I'd find myself getting myself in the midst of this flesh, in this fast, getting in my flesh. Because when I'd be going to bed at night, I'd say, where am I going to go eat lunch tomorrow? instead of, oh, Father, I thank you for this day and pray, I'd be like, oh, where am I going to feed my flesh tomorrow? You know, because it's easy to get into our flesh, to get into our carnal mind, even when we're trying to do a righteous thing. Thank God that's not what saves us. Jesus saves us. So, you know, we set our minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So, you know, when you're thinking carnally, when you're thinking of your flesh, filling your flesh, it's death. It's death to us. It does not feed our spirit. It does not make us righteous. It does not make us peaceful. It does not make us loving. It's killing us. And then number 7, verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, for indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So when we're walking in our flesh, we're not pleasing God. Because we're fulfilling what we desire and not what God desires. But when we're walking in the Spirit, we're pleasing to God. We're like a sweet aroma to God. He's like, wow, here comes Holly. Isn't that great? Look at her. You know, that's what happens. Here comes Pastor Jesse. He probably don't call you pastor. He probably says, here comes Jesse, a man of God. See, he gets excited for it. When we're walking in the Spirit, but when we're thinking carnally. See, because everything begins in your mind. It's all in your mind. And that's why he talks about casting down imaginations, taking authority over those things and casting them down. And we need to do that. Realize, because you know this about you. You know what trips you up. You know how you get tripped up in the Lord. You know what gets your carnal mind going, and you need to capture it. You need to catch it, amen? You need to stop it. You need to say, don't, or we're not going there. So, you know, carnal-minded is focusing on our flesh. You know, what are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Are you keeping the Sabbath? Are you keeping the holy days? You know, are you going to the festival? And the kingdom of God is not about that. It's about Jesus, amen? All these laws were given to the Jews in the wilderness. And then Jesus came. And he fulfilled all of it. We don't have to be legalistic. I remember I had this friend, he was Russian Orthodox. And he hardly ever went to church. And I was at his shop one day. This was a few years back when I was back and I had my business. He says, oh, man, I got to turn out some work. I said, why? He goes, well, I got to pay the church $10,000. I said, really? I'm thinking, come to my church. No. I'm kidding. But he said, I said, why do you got to pay the church $10,000? He goes, well, they sent me a bill. I'm like, for what? And he goes, well, we need a new building, so my part's $10,000. I'm like, they just do that to you and you're going to pay it? Oh, yeah. I'm like, dude, that's legalism, man. You don't got to give to the Lord what you know is due by the Lord, what the Lord is telling you to do. I said, you need to read the book of Galatians and find out you're not bound by any laws or legalism. You know, I mean, hey, come on. And he's like, no, man, I'm going to pay the $10,000. I don't want any trouble. I'm like, oh, my God. All right, you guys, $10,000 next week, okay? No trouble. And then you know I'm only kidding, right? Because some people say, he told us to give 10. No, I'm not. But we renew our mind. We walk in the Spirit. We're changing our mind by living in the Word, amen, producing godly thoughts, you know, so that I'm not carnally thinking. I'm producing godly thoughts. I'm reading my Word. I'm praying. I'm worshiping. I'm trying, you know, and it's not just because I'm a pastor. I did this before I became a pastor. I did this because this is the way we need to grow in the Lord. We need to all read, and we need to all pray, and we need to all worship the Lord, not because Ron King said, hey, do this, but because the Lord is drawing you to know Him. Because you say, man, I want my carnal man to die. I want to rise in the Lord. I want to know Him. How many of you just want to know the Lord, man? You just want to be like, He is my fellowship. He is my brother. He's my Savior. He's my King. I just want that relationship that I know what He's thinking because He tells me. I just love it when He visited Abraham in Genesis. And they were on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy it. And He stopped, and the Lord stopped and told the angels, He said, should we tell our friend Abraham what we're going to do? And He did. I want to be that kind of friend where the Lord would stop and tell me what's up. Because John 16 says that the Lord will tell us things to come. I want that kind of relationship. I want that relationship where He's telling me, if you go right, this is what's going to happen. If you go left, this is what's going to happen. I want to know so that I don't go right when I'm supposed to go left. Amen? I want to stay on that path to where I know that I know that I know I'm right where God wants me to be. And that's where I feel like right now I am right where God wants me to be. I'm so excited about what God is doing. You know, and this year we registered New Hope Family Worship Center, Uganda. We have a church in Uganda. And the pastor emailed me yesterday. He goes, okay, we are New Hope Family Worship Center, Uganda. Start training us. I'm like, amen. You know, whether it's going to be by Skype or whatever, his training's going to start, you know. And the first thing I'm going to teach them is how to keep their books so that they're financially set. Because you probably got an email from pastor in Uganda, if you're my friend on Facebook, and he'll ask you for money. I tell him, don't ask my people for money. He's like, because he doesn't know who all my people is. I said, and he says, well, pastor, we have such need. I said, he says, could you send us money for this? Like he asked me money for an orphan this last week. I said, oh, absolutely. Didn't want the girl to quit school. He's like, can you help us? I said, absolutely. And I sent him money. I said, but listen, the money I'm sending you, I'm praying to the Father to give us. You just need to start praying to God the Father to send you money. Because it's so much more joy just to send money just because than for Him to go, I got a need, I got a need, I got a need. How many of you got needs? Man, if you all called me every week, I'd be going crazy. That's what I'm trying to teach our African church. It's not about man. You got to start calling on the Lord. You got to start praying and seeking His face and asking Him, oh, but we're so poor. But you know what? Everybody lives by a standard. But, you know, your standard of living may not seem poor to the rest of the world, but you may be like 1 week away from being homeless. You may be 1 week away from not having any food. You know, so it's just, you know, that's the American culture today. So we're always living, everybody's always living paycheck to paycheck. If you lose your job, you're like, you know, that's when people start jumping out of buildings and stuff. Because of the pressure. And I'm finding, you know, like these guys around the world, they feel that same kind of pressure, but on just a smaller scale. People I deal with in China, man, China's become so affluent, they're dealing with big numbers of money over there in China. And they're just totally taking care of us when we go to China. Now, there's so much money flowing there. But it's such big numbers that it's a lot of pressure for them. But we can't get caught up in all that, amen? Can't get caught. I got to get caught up in this. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I got to get caught up in that. I can't get caught up in the fruit of the Spirit so that when people look at me, they say, this guy is different, man. You know what? You have credit cards. Who's got a credit card? You got a credit card with you, Dion? No? Come on, man. We got credit card giving, man. Come on, though. Anybody got a credit card? You got a credit card. No. It is one. Got that chip. Everybody got a credit card that's got that chip. You know, I want to share people Jesus. So you know what I do? Every time they say, oh, your card's got a chip. You got to stick it in this way. You can't swipe it. I say, well, as long as it's on my card and not in my hand yet. And they look at me like, huh? Because I'm looking for a, what do you mean in your hand? I'm waiting for somebody to say, what do you mean in your hand? Because then I can tell them about Jesus. The door will open. And so I'm saying that everywhere I go because I'm looking for opportunity. How can I express Jesus with people instead of just being in my carnal mind all the time? How can I go about planting the seed of the kingdom of God? How can I sow fruit into people's lives? As long as it's on a card and not in my hand, well, because if it was in my hand, that would mean that I've accepted the beast. I'm not going there. No way. And let me tell you, they're setting it up. It's all being set up right now. Just get ready. So then, number two, don't let anyone condemn you into pious self-denial or angel worship. You know, and people try to do that. They try, you know, even the angel worship thing right now, I see people writing books about angels, people writing books about, you know, how they're getting directive from angels, giving directions to angels. Stay away from it. Stay away from it. Because anybody that's dealing with that, it clearly states back in the beginning of this that they're not connected to Christ, the head of the body. They're focused on angels, not Christ. We focus on Jesus. Christ is the one who directs the angels. It says in Psalms 91, 11, and 12, it says, for he, everybody say he. He shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot on a stone. So he's the one that directs the angels for us. So we don't have to worry about what the angels are doing. Now sometimes I do pray, Lord, send your angels to help. Send your ministering spirits to help this person, you know, and to bring the comfort, to give them wisdom. Send your ministering spirits to intervene in this situation. But I pray to the Father. I pray in the name of Jesus that this happened. I don't pertain to no angels. I know Jesus. Because angels are created beings just like Satan. Satan is not like God. He's not all-knowing, all-powerful, and everywhere at once. Only God is. So we don't need to be messed with angels. And when people try to put restrictions on you in the sense of self-denial, you know, I know when I was in the world, I tried to deny myself certain things of the flesh. And, you know, and I would do it for a season, and then it'd be like, as soon as something happened, it'd be like I'd be right back at it. You know, trying to self-deny. Well, I quit doing this. I decided to stop doing it, and I did it. Great. I needed help. I asked Jesus, could you take it away? And he said, yes. And he did. And he took them away. So that it's not anything, because I can't take credit that I quit because Jesus took it. It's all on him. He took away the things of my flesh. He took away those fleshly desires. And he told me, he said, I've made you free. I'm like, wow. And you know what? I just received it. I'm free. I'm free. I don't have to do this anymore. It's not a, well, I don't eat cookies anymore. Hey, we all ate cookies this week in VBS. Who cares? Who cares if you ate a strip of bacon? You know, but I see people that get caught up in man, I didn't go to the gym today. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I think in my head, well, did you read your word today? Because we get so restricted about things of our flesh, about self-denial, and put restrictions on ourselves. Well, I won't eat that. That's got sugar in it. Or I won't eat that. Or I won't drink that. Oh, my gosh. No, I would never. And it's like, okay, but don't condemn me because I'm free to do it. Now, I don't drink alcohol because the Lord told me don't ever drink again. It's like, well, that was easy. He took it. I said, then you got to take this away. So I never drank again. It's been, I don't know, 30 years now. It's just he took it away and I'm free. Amen. People say, well, I'm free to have a drink. I said, well, good for you. I'm free to not drink. That's what he did for me. And that's what he's done for all of us. But legalism and worshiping angels does not change character. Matter of fact, you know, I was meditating this week on people that say, well, God told me, or God said to me, or God directed me. And listen, you know me, and I know God speaks to me, okay? God speaks to you. God's voice is still loud and clear. In John, it says, my people know my voice. My sheep know my voice. So we know the voice of God. But when people begin to use the voice of the Lord as a crutch for their actions, that's where I start questioning, are they really hearing from heaven? Listen, the reason why I say that is because we have 36,000 denominations in the world because God said, go start another church. Because God said, do it this way. Because God said, do it that way. And I know this, God hates division. So when people leave and say, God said, I've seen a lot of people. We had a couple of guys that were on the staff here of a while back, many, many years ago. And one guy said, well, God told me to go and start a church. Because he wanted to do church his way. And he went and he started a church. The church died in a hurry. His whole family was broken up. He divorced his wife, and it was just miserable. Then I know another man that said, well, God told me to go start a church. And I know why the guy started the church, because Pastor Dave was doing what God told him to do, well, not what man told him to do. In a sense, staying in this. Stay close to this. We had a whole staff quit on us one time because they wanted to be seeker-sensitive church. And Pastor Dave said, that's not who God's called me to be. So I was a deacon at the time. He said, what do we do? I said, fire them. If you can't agree with the church, then just let them go. If you can't agree to stay with where God has called this church to be, then just go. Amen. I had one brother come to me one day. He invited me a house over for dinner. I went to his house, had dinner, great time. He said, Pastor, we love you. We're committed to New Hope. We're going to do what you've asked us to do, because I've asked him to do some certain specific things. And but their flesh was dying, and they didn't like it. So in 2 months, they said, I heard his little kid say, oh, we're leaving New Hope. And I went to his dad. I said, hey, you invited me over for dinner. You said you're committed. You love this place. You love. And he's like, well, God told us that we need to move to another church. I said, did God change his mind? And he looked at me. He's like, well, what do you mean? I said, 2 months ago, you had me in your home. God telling you this, this, this. See, so you got to be careful if you're going to throw around the name of God. Amen. See, because there's one thing I can't challenge is when people say, God told me. Who am I? I'm just a man. You got to know that you know that you know that God's in it. Amen. That he's telling you, it's time to move on. Let your character reveal Jesus, not division. Let your character be of Christ, and not because you're righteous by your actions and the self-pietism and that you're disciplined in certain areas of your life. Be careful. And then number three, this is where it gets fun. You've died with Christ and he's set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. There it is. You have died to Christ and he's set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So don't let them have a hold on you. You're free. Don't buy into the legalism of religion about attaining your own salvation. It's not by works you've been saved, but it's because I'm saved that I work. It's because I'm saved that I serve. Amen? I mean, since I've been saved, I've been serving, and I love serving. And you know, I brought my kids to serve with me. My kids, you know, since I was committed to the Lord, my kids have been committed with me. Train up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. My kids been to everything I've been to. Now, I come to classes. I would come to classes that I wouldn't drag my kids to, but, hey, I'd drag them to church. You bet. I drag them to church. I drag them to children's church. I dedicated them in this church. They were birthed in this church. They lived in our nursery. They lived in children's church. They were youth, in the youth when I was the youth pastor. They were young adults when I was a young adults pastor. Now they live in Ohio and Kentucky. One of them's planting a church in Kentucky right now. Sure, I drag them to church. And you need to drag your kids to church if that's how it's got to be. Tie them up, handcuff them, throw them on the front row. Here, we'll watch them. I don't care. Bring them in kicking and screaming and crying. They need Jesus, amen? I remember my little 2-year-old grandson, Toby. He's turning 9 this week. I'm trying to think what day, but he's turning 9. And that kid, when he was 2 years old, it's like, oh, that boy needs to get saved. He really needs Jesus. Because, man, you know, he would just punch little kids in the face. You know, that didn't work in the nursery. You know, like, pastor's grandson's a little mean, you know. It's like, Greg, you better get that boy saved. So I'm with him in Colorado a couple weeks ago. I'm like, all right, we're going to pray in tongues for a while because we're driving. I'm the donut driver. Take him to get donuts every day. Don't condemn me. Come on now. Kids love donuts, especially Toby. I said, we're going to pray in the Spirit. And they're like, eh, we don't pray in tongues yet. I'm like, come on. I said, repeat this prayer after me. And I lead them in a prayer. I said, okay, now start praying in tongues. And I start praying in tongues. And they start kind of mimicking me or mocking me or, you know, or just kind of saying it after me, and I said, come on, get your own tongue. Don't follow me, just do it. You know, pretty soon they're laughing in the back seat. I'm like, come on. They're like, Papa, this is fun. Come on, you guys. This, you know, and I'm trying to be serious with them, but they're just having fun. Like Pastor Rob said, man, we need to not be so serious, but have some fun with it, amen? Come to the house of the Lord and laugh a little. Loosen up. We're free. We're free. He has made us free. I'm dead to the world, amen? I've died with Christ, and he has set me free from the spiritual powers of this world. So the spiritual powers of this world don't have a hold on me. The only hold they have is what you give. The only ground the enemy can have in your life is what you give him. So don't give him any. Well, Pastor, you just don't know. You don't know what I've been through. Well, you don't know what I've been through either. I know plenty of people at Jeanette. She just walked out, man. Her mom left her on the streets of New Mexico when she was 10 years old. Just left her. She said, I'll be back. And then came back. And she was homeless. 10 years old. Slept behind a church. She knew she could go to this mission and get a change of clothes once a week. She knew she could go to a certain place. She won't eat donuts anymore because she ate donuts out of the trash can all the time by the donut shop when she was 10. She was just so abused. And she loves Jesus. She loves Jesus. And she's just pressing forward with the Lord. But she's been through so much. I think I met people that have been through kind of similar things to her, well, maybe not even as bad, who just struggle serving the Lord because of the things that happen to them. But today we're free. Our yesterdays are gone. Amen. Today we're free in Christ. We can take the things that happened to us and we can give them to the Lord. And say, Father, man, I give this to you. I can imagine the Father up there going, I don't want it. Let's give it, kick it back into hell where it came from. Because you don't want it. But man, we're down here going, take this. And he's like, okay. And he deposited it back where he came from. It's not about legalism. It's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about, do you love Jesus? Are you committed to Christ? Is he the one you love? Or is it your flesh? You have to work at building a relationship. Now, Dion and Jana, you've been married a year, and you're still working on your relationship. Amen. It didn't just go. You didn't just get married, and wow, everything was great, did it? It takes time, huh? And you work through it. You talk. You work. You know that's how marriage is. You're working it. Hey, Jeanette, I talked about you a little bit while you were gone, just so you know. They won't offer you donuts no more. Oh. But you know, you work on your relationship. And you got to do the same thing with Jesus. You're made free, but you got to work out a plan. How are you going to build that relationship? You know, DeLon and I have been married, as you know, 35 years now. But there's a line that we don't cross. There's just a line that we do not cross with each other. There's just certain things that we know that we don't say, that we don't use those things. So one time, I stepped over the line. Then I jumped back. And she says to me, she says, the next day, she says, what you said to me the other night is what makes us get a divorce. I went, oh no. She said, but I'll tell you what I'm going to do. She said, I'm going to forgive you. And I'm just going to act like it never happened. I'm like, really? She goes, absolutely. She goes, who we are, what we do, is bigger than both of us. And we don't have time to hold on to junk. I said it on Monday. She said that on Wednesday. On Friday, neither one of us could remember what I said. We're growing in our relationship constantly. It's the same way this way. I did it on Monday. He forgave me he forgives as soon as it happens. And then I don't do it anymore when I repent. I'm working on my relationship this way. So in this life, we've got to have a plan. And I got a few things that I'm going to challenge you to do. Wouldn't be right if I didn't challenge you, right? Thank you, Jeanette. Number one, let's pray in the Spirit every day. I challenged you 3 weeks ago to pray in the Spirit for at least 5 minutes every day. You say, well, 5 minutes ain't that long. It is if you don't do it. Just pray in the Spirit for 5 minutes every day. Let your relationship with God just be birthed out of praying in the Spirit. And then number two, read your Word every day. In your Bible, in your bulletin today, not in your Bible, in your bulletin, there's a reading plan that starts for July 1st because we're finishing up June's. But get into the habit of reading your Word every day, amen? Just read it. Get it into your spirit. Let it speak to you. I know that when Joe and I, we get together and we read the Word a couple of days a week, and when we do, we talk about it. Man, it's so fun. Man, we as we talk about it, it's just like the Lord gives us nuggets of information that He's trying to give us that understanding. And just because we spent a half hour reading and talking and praying, man, we walk away just walking on cloud nine because we've been in the presence of God. Read the Word every day. And then worship every day. Make a habit to worship the Lord. When you get up in the morning and you roll out, just say, "Good morning, Lord." And He'll respond. If you're listening, He'll say, "Good morning." He's there to speak, to minister, to share with us. And then number four, let's give time to building our relationship with Jesus every day. Make an effort to build your relationship with Him. Listen, legalism would be just go through the motions. Relationship is you're growing. You're spending time with Him. You're allowing Him to touch your heart. See, because you may not have committed adultery ever. But Jesus said, "That's not a big deal. Have you thought about it?" See, those righteous acts that you don't do, who cares? Where's your heart at today? Are you mean-spirited, even though you're not committing adultery? Are you an angry person, even though you're not lusting over your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's stuff? Are you unkind in your words even though you don't tell lies? Well, I just speak the truth even when it hurts. Where's the love? The love of God. The love for God and the love for people. Legalism won't get you there. A relationship with Jesus will get you there. What are you doing to invest in that relationship? Somebody asked me the other day, they said, "I got some friends going through some marriage problems. What can I tell them?" I said, "Just tell them to stop being selfish. Stop being selfish. Don't be selfish with your time this way. With Jesus. Make a plan to be with the Lord." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just give You praise and thanksgiving for Your Word. Lord, Your Word is so powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord, and it cuts off the things that the world tries to put on. And Lord, You've called us not to be religious, not to be, Lord, legalistic, Lord, but You've called us to be free in Jesus Christ. Not so that we're off doing our own thing, but Lord, so that we're doing what You created us to be. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that You just minister to each person right now. Because maybe you're here and you say, "Pastor Ron, there's some things that I need that freedom in Christ in today. I need the freedom in the Lord. I need to get out from under what the enemy's tried to put on. And I just need freedom today." If that's you, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. You just, amen, 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 amen. Praise God. Many hands. Why don't we stand? Father, You've seen every hand that went up today. And Lord, and every hand that didn't, that maybe needed to. But Lord, we know that You're the lover of our soul. And You came and You gave us life. And I speak life over this body of believers. That Lord, that for every hand that went up today, that You'd break off, Father God. Lord, just that old thinking. Lord, and Lord, the legalism. And Lord, that we would just desire relationship. And we step into relationship with You, Jesus. Now, Lord, that our spirit man would be alive and our carnal man would be dead. We not walk trying to fulfill our flesh, but we walk in the Spirit, living and breathing the kingdom of God. So, Lord, I pray your strength over every person here today. And, Lord, that we, as we leave today, your grace would just go with us. And that the hand of God would lift us up. And, Lord, I pray that we would all have an ear to hear clearly what the Spirit of God would say. There'd be no confusion, because you're not the author of confusion. But, Lord, you give each one of us understanding. And, Lord, I pray for the peace of God upon the people today. So, Father, as we go our way today, cover, protect, heal, and provide for your people. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big clap this morning. Hallelujah. Hey, we'll be back in here Wednesday night. Bible study in here in the sanctuary, Revelation chapter 5. Read it before you get here. We're going to go through it, talk about it, see what's coming up.